everybody. Welcome to episode 5 of the Canine Connection podcast. Today, Lori and I are going to be talking about errors. Oh boy.
Dun, dun, dun.
Errors. So I think we should talk about the human side of errors first, because I really have no idea why. I don't know if this is ingrained just in like society or in human beings genetically, but we have a very, very strong aversion to errors for some odd reason. I actually do not have a strong aversion to errors at all. And I think anyone that's ever done anything that's challenging, worked towards a goal. I know I listen to a million podcasts, read a million books about athletes and just people in general that are successful. And all they ever talk about is all the times they messed up and failed. And they're like, whatever about it, because they know that it is just part of the journey. And it is impossible to get from point A to point B without making mistakes. It's just impossible.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know what it is either, but I have to say, growing up in my household, we all played, we were all in sports and we were really competitive. And I did have parents who held us to a standard of, basically it was just if you didn't win or you didn't score or et cetera, then you really weren't worthy. Unfortunately, that's where I grew up. And so I was conditioned to errors at an early age as being absolutely freaking awful. And I had to really work hard on changing my relationship with mistakes, like, which didn't really happen until I really started training dogs. And I do think it is a thing in human, I don't know either, like biologically we're designed like to have this perfectionist attitude toward everything, and that we are not living in reality thinking if you think you're going to be able to learn something from step 1 to step 100 without making mistakes, like you are like, woo, wake up call, it's not going to happen. So I know it is a thing we see. I see it all the time when I'm training with people or even teaching and my students make an error and the hands go up, the head starts shaking, the sighing starts, like they just like the emotional response to an error is huge. Yeah.
I totally get that because I was raised like that too. Nothing I ever did was good enough. No matter how good it was never good enough. I think I changed my attitude about it I was always for a long time, I was extremely competitive. I think it's because I've done so many different things in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. Like when I was young, I started horseback riding. I competed in that. And then I just competed in so many different things that I kind of learned the process, right? Like I understood fairly early on that you just had to keep going, right? Like no matter what, just pick yourself up, dust yourself off, keep going. And I think because I did that rinse and repeat so many times with so many different activities in my life, even like school, right? Like college, PT school, like everything is like, it's hard. You make mistakes and you just have to pick yourself up and keep going, pick yourself up and keep going. But you're right. It also comes with some maturity over time where you realize, first and foremost, we have to realize that what we are doing is really not that important.
Right. That's so true.
Like if we could just, you know, come to terms with that, we'd be way ahead of the game, right? Like when it comes to real life problems.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not a problem.
Yeah. Like right? Keeping that perspective is so important for sure.
Super important. Then you just have to believe us when we tell you that you will be making mistakes forever, because I make training mistakes all the time to this day. Right. With my dogs all the time. And I make a mistake and I go, sorry, buddy. I'm really sorry. Good boy or good girl. So I apologize to them because in my mind that like, and that if I'm apologizing, I can't be going, ugh, God, because if I do that, my dogs think they did something wrong.
Yeah, right.
So I just go, sorry, buddy, I mucked that up. I'm not making you pay for my mistake. So I'm going to do whatever I need to keep you happy. And then I'm going to just learn from the mistake I made and continue on. Or sometimes I'm not sure what's happening. It's just not going well. And I'm just like, abort.
Yeah, that's important. That is so important. I just had this conversation with somebody because they say, like, they asked me, they said, well, what happens if, you know, you try it once, try it twice, try it three times, and then it just keeps not working and, you know, you're making mistakes. I'm like, just abort. Really? Just abort? I'm like, yeah, just shelf it. Shelf it. Like, there's no point in digging a hole, like for you or the dog, right? And that's going to happen too. Like, I have many times where something is not working and I'm either making mistakes, I'm not doing it right, my dog doesn't understand it. And I literally will just say, you know what? Let's just move on to something else. Good dog, spin, twist. I just do a couple tricks, reset them, move on. And then later on, I'm puzzling that out on my own to try to figure it out.
Yeah. And there's something to be said too. Training requires a lot of mental concentration. At least for me, it does. Like yeah. A lot of mental concentration. And I've gotten a lot better about kind of doing a mental check before I start training. Like, is your head on straight? Are you in a good mental place? Because my dogs are really sensitive. Mm-hmm. And if I am not, and I can tell, like, if I'm just like edgy or had a really frustrating day and I'm like, you know, training is on my list, must do list. Well, maybe must not do that today, because from experience, I've pushed through and then it doesn't end well, right? Because I can't make the decisions I need to make. And so then I'm making mistakes and then it's not fair to the dog and the whole thing's just going
sideways.
And so it's just not worth it. Like, I'm not going to get anything productive out of that. And I think that's hard for people too. Like, because if this was on my list today, I must do that. And to not do that, maybe it feels again like failure, whatever. I'm just like, I made a choice that's going to be better in the long run for me and the dog. And I've also like been in the middle of a session and things go south and I can feel myself getting really frustrated and I just put my dog down. And I've even done this with my training partner and I look at him, I go, I just need a minute. I just need a minute. Like, I have to get my shit together.
It's a reset moment.
Yeah. Just, I need to walk away. Like, don't talk to me right now.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that comes from, like, I truly believe those moments do come from because we are striving toward excellence all the time, right? Like, I think if you're in competition, obedience, the sport or any sport, right? Agility, anything, and you are investing in training your dog, you're giving up things to go train your dog, you're putting out money to go do stuff with your dog. Like, we're striving for excellence and mastery all the time. So we can't help but get emotionally invested in the process, especially when errors happen, right? Like that's, I think, a really hard thing to do. And what helps me is to try to kind of stay in the moment is that I try to always remember that it's going to take as long as it's going to take. I think a lot of what can happen along with the process of reaching set goals of X, Y, and Z, excellence, mastery, or whatever you're setting goals for, that we put timelines on things. And that really can cause us to sort of lose, things get a little twisted. The picture gets a little twisted and we lose the ability to just be okay with mistakes because it's the natural process of moving toward what you want to move toward.
Yeah, a guaranteed way to make you make mistakes and see all your dog's mistakes and freak out about them. Like the perfect way to achieve that is enter a trial.
Yeah. Yep. Perfect.
Because as soon as people enter a trial, I'll be looking at my training partner. I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, well, I'm like, you're not.
I'm showing
training.
This weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I should have known. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, no. Like, first of all, the amount of trials I have pulled from, especially when I have a green dog, is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Because we have to sign up for trials usually relatively far in advance. And I think, oh, my dog should be ready by then, right? And then I have to resist that feeling of panic or urgency or frustration or pushing through, right? Because suddenly I have this trial.
Right.
So same as you. I'm like, well, if he's not ready, he's not ready. I just pull and yep. I get my money back. Right. But people don't. It's weird. It's like they're like, but I entered the trial. And well, I'm just going to go and see what happens. Well, I can tell you what's going to happen. If your dog ain't ready, your dog's yep. going to flunk. So,
right.
But you go on ahead. Right. So, yeah, that's a sure way because it puts pressure on us.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of like something you have to be super hyper aware of, right? Like we have the NOC, the nationals, our nationals coming up in six
weeks,
right? Yeah, you're better at keeping track. I'm like at some point relatively soon. So that has a lot of unique challenges. So Zesty's a very green dog. So now I've gone many times. I understand the M picture. I know everything that's needed. But I can't start pushing him hard, trying to get all that into him. Like he can't. Like
right.
I'm going to put too much pressure on him. So I keep reminding myself, I'm only training. I'm just training him. And yes, I'm exposing him to challenges, but in a way that he can succeed. And he's going to be as ready as he's going to be when I get there. No more, no less, because it is what it is. And you know what? He's probably not going to be ready enough, and that's perfectly fine. He will be the following year.
Right.
But if I fall prey to the pressure of, oh God, you know, he's going to have to deal with this, 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 and this, I'm going to start putting too much pressure on him. And again,
yeah,
he's going to make too many mistakes, blow his confidence. Everything's going to go south. It's not
right.
going to do anything.
It's not going to do any good for him. Yeah. Yeah.
No. So I think the first thing we have to do is emotionally get our act together, right? Understand that you are going to be making mistakes forever. Beating yourself up about it, well, you're just basically wasting time and energy. It never accomplishes anything, right?
Right.
You make a mistake. By definition, a mistake is we didn't mean to do it, right?
Right.
So let it go. Just
yeah.
learn from it.
Yeah. And just like, you know, with that being said, your reaction to your mistakes really matter too. Because like I mentioned before, and I see this when I'm training with people, and I also see it actually at trials when mistakes happen in the ring, the, you know, something goes a little sideways and the dog either makes an error or flunks something. And what does the handler do? You see arms go up, you see head shaking, you see big sighs. You know, I think a lot of that goes into play with A, they are, people go to trials wanting to win. I mean, we all do want to win, obviously. We're competitive. That's why we do it. But if that's the only thing on your plate that your eyes are looking at, you're going to miss the big picture of just the process. Like, to me, it's test day and I want to do well, but I also want to see where my training is, right? But if you go to the trial, just, you know, I want to win. I want to beat everybody. I want to win. The pressure, like you were mentioning, just gets intense and the dogs feel that. And then what happens is there's disappointment. The expectation isn't there and there's disappointment. And if you're showing that to your dog's going to feel it.
Yeah. And even if people are just, you know, they're like, well, I just want to qualify or, you know, I want to get my title or whatever it is, that's all fine too, but it's still going to put pressure on you, right? Because on that day you have an expectation.
Yeah.
I would like X to happen. And when it doesn't happen, then you're going to be frustrated or disappointed, right? I think when someone's been trialing a long time and is very experienced, you realize that you flunk a lot. And I have had people look at me and argue with me like, your dogs don't flunk. I'm like, oh my God, if you only knew how many times my dogs flunk. Right. Before they get to a point where they're relatively consistent. But even then, they still flunk.
Yeah.
I flunked local trials. I flunked huge competitions that I've prepared for a long time for. Like, that's just part of it. Like, totally. It's just part of it. You know, does anybody like it? No. Do they enjoy it? No. But at the end of the day, again, it's just part of the process. And you just have to be realistic. And you have to remember that, like, this is our human wackiness. Like,
yes.
Dogs have no freaking idea.
Right.
They're just like, oh, we're here. Oh, it's busy here. Oh, why is mom acting so weird here?
Right.
And, you know, we're all caught up in, oh, but I want to achieve this, whatever it is, doesn't matter what your goal is, you know. And sure, it's great to have goals, but you have to be prepared that if that doesn't happen, what are you going to do? Right. And how are you going to react?
Yeah.
So that your dog isn't paying the price. For our, basically for our ego and our vanity, in essence, is what it comes down to, right? Because people are like, oh, I'm so embarrassed. I don't want to let people down. People are going to think this. People are going to think that. I always tell them, nobody gives a shit.
Right.
They only care about themselves. That's
it's true.
All they really care about.
It's true.
Like, no offense, but they don't care how you do.
Yeah. Right. It's true. Yeah. All the people standing ringside, they're not even paying attention to you. Yeah. I can guarantee you.
Yeah. They just, all they care about is their run and what happens when they go in the ring and how their dog does and whatever, you know?
Right. Right.
And again, like I said, it's not world peace. It's just, you know, so I think it's important to just take some time, reflect.
Yeah.
And work on it. No, it's not easy, but like anything, you must work on it consistently, right? So I think about these things all the time so that if something happens, I'm prepared, right? Or if I make a mistake, then I think to myself, okay, no big deal. We got to just do a better job next time, learn from this and move on.
Right. Right. Yeah. And, you know, there's, I just wanted to bring up like the errors that you're consciously aware of when they happen, you know, and trying really hard to not have such a negative emotional response to them in that moment. It's okay, you made a mistake, you know. And then there's also, you know, I do tons of videoing of all my training sessions, and I see lots of errors in them. A lot of them. Like today, you know, I did a training session with a friend, and then I came home and I watched it, and I'm like, oh wow, oh boy. I mean, I probably picked out 20 things I did wrong, but I'm just always in my head. I'm not going to sit there and beat myself up over it. I'm just immediately, I've been training myself to immediately just apply to not do that again and make it better. You know, I'm just always trying to learn from every error I make, so that I improve in my handling skills and train my dog better.
Yeah. And another little trick that I use, so for example, is I try to just laugh about it, like me purposefully, too. Yeah. Right? So I'm in class, I'm healing, and everyone's like, you just drifted a whole mat over. I just start cracking up. I go, oh, well, I guess I shouldn't have been drinking this morning. Or I'll just say something stupid, right, so that I laugh about it, and then my dog feels relaxed about it, right? And it helps me too, right? Because I'm like, oh, whoopsie, I drifted. Okay, pay more attention. That's it. Like, I'm not like, oh God, everybody saw me drift.
Right.
You know, or I jam a halt and my dog is standing there and I'm just like, oh boy, buddy, like I fucked up again. And then I start, you know, I giggle and they all think I'm wacky, which is fine. And then onward and upward, I make sure I do a better job with my footwork moving forward. Right. So, yeah, sometimes I just do things and I'm like, what was, I was just laughing at myself. Like, what was that? Like, what did you just do? I'm like, what is
right. Well, you have to just laugh about it, because at the end of the day, I mean, it is not world peace.
Right. It's not.
And the dogs are so resilient. I mean, you just freaking fix it and move on. Yeah. just do better.
All right. So let's start to wade into, what do we do when the dog makes a mistake? So for me, I think there's two kind of types of mistakes, right? Like if I'm teaching something and my dog does the incorrect behavior, I arguably don't even consider that a mistake, because the dog doesn't even really know what's right or what's wrong, right? So if I'm very confident that, like, I am teaching my dog something and my dog does not know the right answer yet, then I certainly can't be like, dog, you're wrong, because the dog's like, well, I don't know what the hell you want from me.
Right.
I feel so for sure, although technically I'm always teaching, but before I go down that rabbit hole, for sure, when I'm teaching the dog behaviors, whatever those behaviors are, the dog is going to give me incorrect behaviors at some point because it's trying to puzzle it out.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm not going to get annoyed with that. If my dog gives me the incorrect behavior multiple times, like 2 to 3 times in a row, then clearly I'm confusing the dog, right? I'm not giving the dog good information. Now, you know, what that is or why that is, I need to figure that out. And we can go through a list of those things a little bit later. But initially, the main thing is, I am not going to say to the dog, dude, what are you doing? Like, why can't you figure this out? Like, no, I have to say that to myself. Dude, what are you doing? You're confusing the fucking shit out of the dog. Like, figure it out. Figure out how to be more clear so the dog can figure out the correct behavior.
Right.
Now, I do feel there's a balance there. And, you know, this is where it can get a little bit, you know, controversial.
Mm-hmm.
I personally feel that If I make the dog right constantly and the dog never has to kind of figure it out, then my dog is not going to be resilient because I know that down the road, when my dog is competing, my dog is going to at some point struggle. There is no getting around that. I don't care if anyone that competes in any sport at all tells you the dog never struggles, they're lying. And I've done, a fair number of different dog sports. They're hard. There's a reason they're called competition because it's challenging. So I have to find that delicate balance where I don't want my dog to just be wrong constantly and floundering and like confused and frustrated and like I'm out. But I also can't spoon feed my dog constantly forever because my dog's just going to become helpless.
And reliant on you just spitting out the information and the directions all the time.
Constantly, and they're not going to be resilient. So for me personally, what that looks like is if I'm shaping something, I'm watching my dog, right? And some dogs are going to be innately more resilient than others, right? So like Zesty, he'll for a decent amount of time keep trying. And if he's not right, he's like, well, how about this? Well, how about that? And I'm like, okay, hold on, let me keep up with you. Other dogs like Zaina are gonna go, not that, not that. And then she's gonna go and scream at me and just stop. Like, this is annoying me, right? So her frustration level, her ability to push through is innately always has been, always will be way lower than Zest. And that's my job out of which is why I like to shape my puppies because I learned that about them, right? So I learned that Zayna cannot have a high error ratio. It has to be very low. One or two at most, and after that, I better be darn clear in showing her what to do next, or she's going to be out and I'm done. Right. And so I know that about her, and that's okay. I can work with that. And I work with that to this day because it's better, but she still will get very mad very quickly. Zest is tricky in a very different way because these dogs will keep pushing even if they are very frustrated. They're just going to be like, well, I'm going to try harder and do more. Well, they're still frustrated and I don't want that either. So yes, he'll keep going, but he's not necessarily comfortable. So I have to read that as well. Like, I have to read the signs that he's giving me, and he'll do this super weird thing. Someday I have to get on camera because it is the weirdest thing you have ever seen. He starts, like, those bobblehead things? I don't know if they even still make them. He'll start flinging his head up and down repeatedly. It looks super weird. It's like, what the hell is he doing? And he'll just go, once, but he'll like flip his head a whole bunch of times. That's him saying to me, like, I need a minute here. Like, this is not going well. Like, I'm not happy. So I'm like, okay, I want to avoid that at all costs, right? Like, where is that threshold? It's higher than Zaina's, but still not super high. Just because he'll keep going. You know what I mean? Doesn't mean he's happy.
Yeah, because they're all different and they like your dogs. I always just call them and like, well, they're always a learner, but in the early stages, like what type of learner is in front of you because they are going to be different and shaping. I do the same thing with the puppies. You know, and just to talk about shaping for a second for people who are not sure what that really means, it's really, to me, the best way to describe it is just sort of giving the dog some information on, you know, this is, I'm presenting the dog with some information and wanting them to sort of try on their own to puzzle out what they need to do with that information to solve the puzzle, right? Mm-hmm. And like Petra said, like that can be very frustrating to some dogs. Like they have different thresholds where they get to a point where they're just like, I can't do it. And they bark at you or quit on you. So you have to be really careful and observe and watch what you're what kind of learner you have in front of you. But the shaping is really nice because you're just going to mark things when they get right. I kind of call it like capturing. So they're not on the money, but if they're close, I capture it with a marker. And until they start pushing more and when you shape and you mark something, you're just giving them, it's like that game, like hot, what was it? What was that game? Like where it was, you put someone in a room and they have to go towards something and you're like hot, cold, cold. That's kind of always think about shaping until they're like, oh, I'm getting marked. I'm getting closer to the right answer. That's kind of what shaping is for people
and
who are not
actually,
sure.
If you didn't shape your puppy, your dog when it was a puppy, or you have never shaped your dog, or you've shaped your dog, but you weren't looking for their threshold, mm-hmm. you can always just pick some random wacky trick or behavior, yep. take your dog, shape that behavior, and observe your dog. Like you're being a detective, right? You're looking right. for information, right? How frustrated does my dog get? How quickly does my dog get frustrated? What does my dog do to indicate that? Does my dog leave? Does my dog give up? Does my dog get frantic? Does my dog get vocal? And then you can kind of say, oh, okay, these signs are tell me this about my dog. And this is where my dog's threshold is for struggle, right? Right. It's very, very low or it's relatively high, but I have to be careful because I don't want to go overboard, right? So I think that's just really important information for us to have because when it comes to dogs making mistakes, humans make a ton of assumptions mm-hmm. because you know where you're going and you think you taught your dog how to do the behavior.
Right.
That does not mean that you did.
Right.
Or right. that the dog understands it.
Yeah. And that like that goes, you know, the whole shaping thing is a great, I love shaping because they are going to guess wrong. They are going to make errors in this, you know, them trying to get to the end goal of figuring out what the answer is. So when you are spoon feeding all the answers all the time to your dog, you're not building a thinking dog. Like I want a thinking dog, right? So if they get stuck, I want them to go back to that shaping mentality of like, oh, well, I'm not sure what the answer is. Is it this answer? And you know what? Sometimes it's not. And they make an error. And that's okay, right? But I'd rather have that than the dog who just bails because they've just been so reliant on all that information always being given to them to make sure they're right all the time.
Yeah. So 300%, that's where I ended up with Zeal, right? So Zeal was super nervous, super worried, super afraid of everything under the sun. And so I babied him.
Yep.
Right. If he made a mistake, I didn't even have to say you're wrong. He already beat himself up, put himself in the corner, gave himself a timeout, like grounded himself for a month. I was like, oh my God, like relax. So as soon as he made an error, I'm like, I'll help you. right away. So what happened in the ring, something would get hard, he would freeze.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I was always like, I'd rather you do the wrong thing than do nothing. Mm-hmm. Right. Because he would just freeze. That's the worst thing for me. Like he couldn't, he's just like, oh God, I can't possibly go on. Right. So later in life, when someone pointed this out to me, I was like, oh, like the second he struggles or looks unsure, I immediately jump in and help him. So what happens in the ring? He struggles and he's just waiting for me to bail him out.
Right.
Because I taught him that inadvertently. So I had to go back and do like shaping with him. Right. And if he struggled with something and I would have to not immediately help him, I would have to like either wait a little longer, you know, use a little body English, something, anything to get him to do something. And if he even moved a paw, I would just go, yes.
Yeah. Right?
So that I could teach him, like, don't freeze. Just
try.
Do something.
Right.
And I remember when I finally made a breakthrough was I was at a trial. I did command discrimination, was really hard for him. And I gave him a signal and he hesitated for a second. I was like, oh God, he's going to freeze again. And then he did the wrong position change. And I was like,
yay!
I go, yes. And the judge looked at me like, I hate to disappoint you. I'm like, I know it was wrong. But he did something.
Yeah.
I was so happy. And then after that, you know, it very shortly after that, like he turned the corner, right? Because I had to teach him that it's okay to make a mistake. And which meant that when he made mistakes, sometimes if he made a mistake, but it was better than freezing, I actually rewarded that. Oh
yeah.
My gosh.
Right.
Yes, I rewarded the wrong behavior.
Yeah.
Because what I rewarded was him making the decision to do something, to not be helpless.
Right. That's it.
To do something. Because I'm like, after that, I can, you know, he's an honest dog. Once we get over that hump, he'll figure it out.
Yeah. And that's, you know, a great thing for people who do have dogs who, you know, may be listening and they're like, oh, this is exactly what my dog does. They sort of freeze and then bail on me. You can just go, like, I would just take my dog, like Petra did, and I would just do like simple tricks and shape things that are not, I would even not even do like formal obedience stuff, just do other things you could shape and teach your dog to just, if you don't know the answer, guess. Try mm-hmm. something, right? Because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, they need to be okay with, I don't know the answer, because that's what, you know, spoon feeding the dog means, like the dogs never learn how to deal with not knowing the answer. And then they don't know what to do when that happens. So we want to teach them what to do when you don't know the answer is try something. Try something.
Yep. Just try anything. And I'll never fault you for that. Right. Like
right.
I'll never say to you, no, that's wrong.
Right.
For most dogs. Right. Now for some dogs, like I got so for me, when I say no, I'm super neutral about it. It's just information. The definition of the word means try something else. That's all it means is try something else.
Yep.
But some dogs are so sensitive, they can't even deal with that. So I got away from saying it and it was fine. I didn't need it. And then I had Zess and I'm trying to think what it was. Oh, you know, I would train him somewhere and he would just look away and I could see on his face he didn't think it was wrong, right? And I do a million games and think of, and I turn around and he'd be looking away. And it was clear as day that in his mind that was perfectly fine. And I'm like, why is this dog not getting this? I've been working on this for like a long time. And then I don't know what made me do it one day. I just said, no, leave that. And he goes, oh, why didn't you say so?
Yep.
And I was like, oh, you just needed me to tell you don't do that? He's right. Like, yeah.
Right. Right.
And he's a fairly sensitive dog, nothing like Zeal, but he doesn't like to be wrong. But I wasn't saying it like, no, you're right. Wrong.
Yeah, emotion counts. I just went,
no, leave right. that. And he understood what leave it means. It means leave that. Don't look at it. Right? Leave it alone. So he just looked at me like, oh, you want me to look at you? And I'm like, yes. And he's like, okay. Did that for a couple sessions. Stop looking away.
Yep. Simple. Simple. Well, I think what happens is, I agree. Like, if I say, I won't say no to ever, because she's like Zeal, where she's super, super sensitive. Like, the dog knows, if the dog makes an error, like, she knows it before my brain can even freaking process it. Like, she's that sensitive to it. So I don't have to say no to her. She knows she made the error. Stormy, on the other hand, I can look at her and say no. And she doesn't melt, it's just information for her to, that was the wrong guess. And then she knows, oh, I guess I'm supposed to do this instead. Or I show her what to do instead.
Yeah. And it narrows their options, right?
It
like,
does.
For Zest, when I was shape, if I shape now something new, if I just say, no, he goes, oh, okay. I won't keep doing that behavior.
Let me try.
Because that's not wrong. So now I'm going to go try some other things. It narrows down his field of choices, right?
Yeah,
but I think the most important part is like your tone, right? And so if you cannot, are incapable of saying no without saying no or putting negative energy behind it, then you just need to change the word. Say whoopsie.
Yep.
Like, you can't really say that. I mean, I guess you could go whoopsie, but you're probably going to, right? Or some silly word that just means don't do that. Do something else, right? Because there's an infinite number of choices. So for some dogs, that really gives them clarity, right? I think, so if they're shaping and I say no, like if my dog's kind of repeatedly doing a behavior that's not headed in the right direction, he goes, oh, okay, I'll try something else.
Right.
If my dog has, like, if I'm teaching them and they, so let's say I'm teaching them a behavior and they understand some of the pieces, but they make a mistake. If I'm going to say, so I can choose to say no. Or not. So if I don't say no, we just stop what we're doing. Because stopping kind of marks that something just happened. It highlights what just happened.
Right. Like you terminated the.
Right. Yeah. So I just stop. I don't know why people have a hard time with that. Like to me, that's very concrete. Stop. But they have a hard time.
Yep.
Just stop, because that marks, it's about timing. We talked about timing in a previous episode where in that moment, something happened. So it draws a dog's attention to that moment. And then the critical piece, and this is where people go awry. And I have to tell students this over and over and over. I don't know why. Tell the dog how to be right.
Yeah.
So the reason dogs get sucky about errors is because we just say to the dog, you're wrong. So regardless of how we say it, if we just stop what we're doing and the dog goes, oh, shoot, I did something wrong. Or people go, no. Dog goes, okay. Well, if the dog knew how to be right, they would have done it.
Yep.
You must tell them how to be right. And this is where people struggle. They just assume, again, here's that word, that the dog has a human mind and is clairvoyant and knows what you wanted, and therefore the dog should know how to fix it. Well, the dog doesn't. So now the dog gets stressed out. Now you do it again. Now the dog's wrong again. The dog still doesn't know what to do right.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's going to be a real, there are going to be really bad feelings from the dog with respect to errors, right?
Right.
So I found that when I started doing that years ago, I don't remember when I figured this out, but my dog makes an error. I stop. I tell my dog immediately, not 10 minutes later, immediately how to be right. So let's say I'm healing and my dog drops their head. I stop. I say to my dog, up here, and point to my face. My dog goes, oh, I'm supposed to look at you. I go, that's right. You're supposed to look at me. Now the dog goes, oh, okay, I know, I can fix that. So now I reset, do it again. My dog knows how to be right. My dog does the correct behavior. As soon as my dog does the correct behavior, I don't just keep going. This is the other mistake people make.
Right.
I just keep going. I go, yes, that was awesome. And my dog's like, oh, I did it, I did it. So now there is no negativity with the error because I helped you. Right?
Explained it.
Yeah, perfect. I explained how to fix it, right? Right? And I didn't get mad at you or upset with you. Now we do it over. Now, if you fail again, then there's a disconnect, right? And I have to change something else. I have to do something different because you're right. Not understanding my information. I explained it to you. You didn't understand it. Okay, I need to do something else. So that's where I have the number two. Two mistakes in a row. That's yep. it. That's all we have to count to is two.
Right.
People can't count to two.
People can't count to two. And well, I think too, people don't. Well, you know, a big thing is people don't know how to handle the errors. Like, I think what happens is the error happens and then the person either keeps going because they're thinking about the error and not thinking about training the dog in that moment and telling the dog that they made an error and having the plan immediately how to fix the error. So people just keep going. I think maybe in hopes that the error will go away. I don't know. But I think that it goes back to keeping, we talked about this in an episode, is just making sure you keep your criteria really clean and clear in your head. Because the error, like the consistency of dealing with the errors isn't there all the time with a lot of people. So one second they're telling the dog that they made a mistake, but then the next three times the dog does it, they're not telling the dog that they made a mistake. So there's that piece too with errors where that becomes really confusing to the dog, because then that goes back to the dog doesn't now know what really the criteria is.
Yeah. Well, that's why I always try to give people like something concrete that in my mind is maybe simple, like right. stop, like freeze, like just don't move, just stop moving.
Yes.
Right. And then if you don't know what to do, just release your dog, play with them, toss some cookies, whatever, figure it out. Figure the answer out in your head. And if you can't figure it out, go do something else.
Yeah.
Like just train a different exercise, do something different, but like stop. Right. That's what I tell people all the time. Just stop.
They can't
move
it. They can't
well,
stop.
They're going to have to learn how to stop.
It is, because it's, I see it over and over again, especially because I teach and I know my students know the criteria, or I hope they know. And I see the dog make the mistake and I purposely don't say anything. And then they keep going to the end. And I go, well, did you like that? No. Well, what didn't you like? Well, I didn't like that left turn. Well, that was like 15 minutes ago. Why did you keep going? I don't know. Like, there's this thing like where they don't want to stop. They don't want to stop and handle it, or they don't know how to handle it. So
I think it's twofold. Hard. I think there is a little bit of wishing, hoping, praying.
Yeah.
Right. Which I tell people all the time. I promise you, I've tried it. It does not work.
Right.
So they kind of just like hope the dog will figure it out, or they really just want to do the whole thing. Like, people really want to do the whole thing. Like, they want to do the whole course, or they want to do the whole exercise, or they want to, you know, do the whole, like when I did field work, they want to do the whole set of marks. They just, it's. Instead of just saying no, like, I'm just gonna do the pieces, because doing the pieces and giving the dog really good information is ultimately what's gonna get me what I want in the end, right? Not constantly trying to push. I think people are always testing, because people are in a rush, they want to get to the end, and they're testing. They want to see, can they do it? Can they do it?
Right.
And my first field trainer. Field was the first sport I did. And he said to me, the only time you test your dog is at a trial. It made him insane when people's dogs made a mistake and they just ignored it. He would go crazy, right? He was like, no, stop your dog. Tell them how to be right. Fix the mistake, right? And people, but they want to test, right? Like, well, Patriot's dog did it. I want to see if my dog can do it. And I don't even think it's a conscious thing. I think it's a subconscious thing, right?
Right.
Or I have a trial coming up. I want to see if my dog's going to pass.
Right.
And training is training. You're always training. You should always be training, right? The only time you're not training, and even then, arguably, you know, I would not let my dog struggle in the ring, but is in the ring, right? Like, that's when you're quote unquote testing your dog.
Yep.
That's the only time you're testing your dog.
Right.
Right. And all the other times you are training your dog.
Right.
Right. And if you let them make the same mistake over and over, you're basically telling the dog that's correct. So if you're not intervening and helping the dog be right, right? If you're not saying, so if my dog drops his head and I keep going and then they pick their head up and I do that 3 times in a row and I just let it go, I basically taught my dog that the correct behavior is drop your head, pick it up when you're ready. When you want to see something else, look at it. When you're ready, look back at me. That's what I'm teaching my dog. I am not teaching my dog that you shouldn't look away from me.
Correct.
And if I help the dog, I'm teaching them the same thing. So my dog looks away, I say, up here. My dog looks up, I keep going. My dog looks away, I say, up here. Dog does, we keep going. I'm teaching my dog that if you see something interesting, go look at it. When I tell you to, look back up at me, which the dog does, right? And I'm saying, that's correct. I am never explaining to the dog that you should not look away in the first place.
Correct.
So don't be surprised when you're in the ring, when your dog looks away and then it doesn't look back because you're not able to say, hey, look back up at me, right? And you can't say, oh, my dog's so naughty. No, your dog's doing what you taught the dog to do.
Right. Yeah. And I think that happens a lot too, that, you know, for whatever reason, sometimes I feel that, like you said, they just want to get to the end. So they go into help mode when the dogs are making some errors like that. And they just in training, and then they inadvertently and really not, they don't even, I don't think they're that even aware of it after a while that they're helping the dogs that much. And then they go to a trial, and like you said, like then the dog's is now doing it and you can't help them, and they come out of the ring, and I hear this a lot, and they're like, I don't understand. The dog never does that in training. And I'm like, yeah, well, it does. And you're helping the dog, you know, you're not explaining to the dog not to do that, and this is what you should be doing instead. So then that just causes confusion for the dog.
Yeah. So I think it is important, you know, when there is a mistake, the mistake being the dog, it's I don't even know if I would call it a mistake. When the dog's not meeting criteria, which means the
Right.
dog's not doing the exact behavior that you want. It's doing a variation of it. Is that variation okay? Is that variation going to hold up in the ring? Well, in that case, fine, right? But if that variation is just going to cause problems where the dog's going to struggle and then flounder, or the dog's not going to qualify, then you're not helping the dog by not addressing the situation, right?
Right.
So I will always address it. Now, I'm not going to go down a negative rabbit hole either. Like, I'm not going to be like, up here, leave it up here, leave it up here, leave it up here. God, that's so annoying. Right? If I have to do that, then guess what? I didn't teach it right in the first place.
Yeah.
Right? I need to break it down, change how I'm explaining it, simplify it, do something different so my dog can succeed, right? If my
Right.
dog's failing twice in a row, then to me, alarm bells goes off. And I literally have created that like visual picture in my head because it helps me not go down the rabbit hole. So my dog makes like, so let's say Zesty picks up the glove, but he kind of like doesn't turn around really quickly. And that's not what I want. I want him to turn around really fast, right? So then I might say, hey buddy, remember I show him how to be right. Then I redo it and he makes that mistake. If you can't really call it a mistake, but he doesn't meet my criteria
Criteria,
again,
yep,
right?
right.
At that point, I have a vision in my head of like alarm bells going off and lights blaring, brah, 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 like emergency, emergency, right? Because I've created that in my head as a way to stop myself,
Right.
right? Like, don't do the same thing again. It's the definition of insanity.
Right.
Doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. So now I have to become a trainer, right? I have to go, okay, the way I just explained it to him, it even though I explained it, I think I was clear, he doesn't understand it because he's
Right.
not doing it. I'm not
Right.
gonna do it over and over and let him be wrong, wrong. Like, oh my God, that's miserable. No one
Right.
wants to do that. So I need to change something. I need to do something different to help him be right,
Yep.
to help him understand what I want. Because if I can show him how to be right, then he'll do it.
Right.
And then I can say, that's it, buddy, you're correct. And that I think people, I see that all the time. They just will do the same thing over and over and go, no, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. Over. And
Yeah.
I'm
Oh
like,
my gosh.
oh my God, the poor dog. So then I have to
Yep.
yell at the human because someone has to defend the dog. Someone has to save
Advocate
the animal. I'm
the
like, I'm sorry I just yelled at you, but somebody has to like save this poor animal. Like everyone, I feel like in that moment, I feel like I should just give them Xana and go and do that same thing you just did with
Yeah,
Xana.
right.
Because
She'll
she
tell you.
will tell you the hell. She will just look at you and go, what the fuck are you doing? She will tell you off like in no uncertain terms. Unfortunately, the vast majority of dogs are way kinder than she is.
Yeah, right.
And they put up with it and they just get suckier and more worried. Like, oh, but
Yeah.
the poor things, they'll keep trying. And they're
Yeah.
like, you know, I'm like, all dogs should have a little bit of Xana in them because
Yeah.
that's only fair. You know, like someone should be screaming at you and going, what, not the dog? Like, what are you doing?
Right. Well, and I think, it's really important to just say that dogs are not out to blow us off. The dogs are not out to be like I don't feel like doing it today. I mean, that's my honest opinion. Like, they're just not biologically made up that way to be like. They don't think that way. That's why people love dogs. They're the most loyal, honest creatures, and they truly, I believe, will go to the ends of the earth to do what we want and make us happy. So I think that people need to, you know, I hear that. I'm sure you hear it, you know. Ugh. The dog blew me off. The dog's just being an asshole today. Like, they're not like that. It always goes back to, at the end of the day, an error is a training issue. For whatever reason it is and whatever capacity it is, it's a training issue, and it's up to us to figure it out.
That is my pet peeve. Like, at this point in my life, I've worked really hard to be a pretty chill person. But if there's one thing that in very short order is going to make me really furious, and it's that. It's when people are like, well, the dog is just, you know, they're blaming the dog and they're putting these traits on the dog and they're saying it's the dog's fault. And it makes me especially furious because I guarantee you, I will bet everything I own that if you believe that, I can prove you wrong.
Yeah.
Because I can find that hole in your training. Right? Yep. I mean, for decades, people would like swear to me up, down, left, right, and center, my dog only does it in the ring. It's the dog. He know. And 100% of the time, I was able to elicit the same error in training.
Yep.
Because it was a hole in that person's training, which I think people should be thrilled with.
Right.
Because if my dog wakes up in the morning and decides to give me the middle finger, I have zero control over that.
Right.
Right. I may as well be just at a slot machine gambling. Right. Right. Like, whatever. I don't know. Oh, he decided today's not the day. That's what people say all the time, right?
Yeah.
No, if it's a training issue, I can fix it.
Right.
I can fix it. I now have control. That's empowering. It may not be easy. It may take me some time to figure out, but I can figure it out and I can fix it.
Yep.
So we should say, oh, that happened. Okay. Well, clearly there's a hole in my training. Let me figure it out. And if you can't, get help. Just get help. There's a million trainers out there. There's a million people online. Like, it's so easy nowadays, right?
Yeah.
Get help, but don't blame the dog, right?
Right.
Take responsibility for your role in this relationship, which is, we decided that we want to do this thing with the dog. The dog has no idea what these crazy rules are, right? Like,
right.
Even when we do something that's like, quote unquote, instinct based, right?
Right.
Like, if you take field training, well, guess what? It's not run however you want to get the bird and get all the birds and bring them back and some willy nilly. Oh, no, no. There's a whole bunch of rules here. You must pick up the birds in this order. You must go in a perfectly straight line. And they have obstacles in the way purposefully to push the dog off that line. And it's completely artificial.
Right.
It's all about rules. You know, with every sport, it becomes a sport, even if it's instinct-based, because we add a bunch of rules to it. And the rules are made to make it challenging.
Right. By the humans.
Yeah. By the humans. So even though it makes zero sense to the dog to cut through that corner of the water when it will be clearly way faster to run around, like, no, stupid human says, you must take that corner of the water, even though it's slower.
Yeah.
The dog's like, okay. So completely our responsibility.
It is. And, you know, I really do try to stay so grounded. I try to always, and I do remind my students or anybody who's come to me for some help or advice, like, you know, it's not us at stake at a trial like we think it is. Like, oh, there goes $60 in entry fees, or oh, I wanted that title and I didn't get it today and the dog messed up. It's not you at stake ever. Your dog is always at stake on how you handle that dog at a trial. Like, they're, you know, I'm always thinking about the longevity of my dog's mental state through this whole stupid journey that I'm asking them to do with me. Because they, you know, and we'll get into, I think we're going to have to do more on this subject, but at the end of the day, like, the dogs do read our emotional response to things, you know,
300%.
and 300%, you know, and I just always am trying to keep them, like, I just want to keep their emotional response and my relationship with them to the best ability that I can, you know.
Yeah. And I remind myself, like, when I'm in my house and they're like being affectionate or they're just being cute pet dogs, right? Like, I'm constantly very purposefully and consciously reminding myself, like, this is why you got a dog in the first place.
Right.
This is who they really are, which you mentioned earlier, these like amazing creatures that just love us unconditionally, right? And I'm like, is X goal worth ruining that relationship to me? Like, am I okay with that? And I'm not at the end of the day. Like, I'm not. And if
Same.
that means I'm not going to achieve the goal with this particular dog, so be it, right? That's my choice. That's a choice I make every day. And yes, I'm very goal oriented. So I very mindfully and consciously make those decisions, remind myself of those, you know, thoughts and feelings in the moment constantly, so that I don't get caught up and I don't get carried away and I don't, you know, make poor decisions based on some sort of a goal or a
Right.
result
And at the cost of your dog, you know?
at the cost of the dog. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe we should stop here on this episode, and then the next episode, I think we could give some really concrete examples of
Yeah.
mistakes and how we handle them. And also, if you guys, after listening to this episode, if you jump on to the, I guess the Facebook page would be easiest, and put comments in there of things that maybe you're confused about or you'd like more clarity on, go ahead and post those there, right? And even if we don't get to it in the next episode, for sure we'll make sure to address it in a future episode.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
Great.
So
Yeah, this is
now
good.
everybody's going to be super okay with errors and they're
That's
not going to
right.
get upset about
Yep, just it's errors are okay.
everybody's going to be happier. Yay.
Right.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate you. We hope this helps you out even just a tiny bit with your training.
Yeah, thank you everybody for listening.
Bye.
Bye. Sounds good.